Hello friends, in this section I am going to discuss about the trade unions and industrial relations. Well, in the beginning I must tell you that trade unions have played very significant role in saving the sort of interest of workers, taking care of their safety aspect, their wages aspect, their working environment aspect. Trade unions work in the legal framework of Trade Union Act 1926. This act provides guidelines for formation, registration and functioning of the trade unions. Well, trade unions are sort of created at different levels, at central level. There are some examples of trade unions like IMTUC, AITUSC, and then at a regional level, at a local level, some affiliated unions are created who are affiliated to the central level trade unions. Trade union, in fact, has helped develop, improvise, in fact, the many trade union, many labor laws, so to speak. And that way is serving a good cause. So moving on, industrial relations in India are closely linked with trade unionism. Recently, trends in the trade union movement in our country have caused grave concern as far as the establishment of industrial harmony is concerned. Trade unions have become an integral and powerful factor in the contemporary system of production and distribution of goods and services. Modern industrialization has paved the way for trade unions. Trade unions have become an integral and powerful factor in the contemporary system of production and distribution of goods and services. Modern industrialization has paved the way for trade unions. Moving on, so trade unions are now exercising a strong influence on the methods of production of goods and services, their distribution, the allocation of economic resources, the volume of employment and unemployment, the character of rights and privileges, policies of governments, the attitude and status of large masses of population, and the very nature of economic and social organization. Under such conditions, their role has evoked deep and wide conversations. So you can appreciate from this slide that the role of trade union over time has widened a lot and has become very sort of strong. So all employees expect a higher salary package. So see the dichotomy I'm going to discuss. Dichotomy in the sense that what is the objective of an employer and what is the objective of an employee, and where these two objectives kind of clash and create the conflict of interest. So all employees expect a higher salary package, whereas employers want bigger profits. This leads to a conflict of interest. Employers would not pay attention if a single employee asked for an increase in salary. They'll just ask him to leave the job. However, when the employee join together, they strengthen their position and can bargain with the employers. So when employees come together, form a group and then negotiate with the employer, their power becomes multifold. Isn't it so? Moving on, hence it is essential for the employees to make a strong and independent organization to take care of their interest. And what is that organization? That is trade union, to work against the poor working conditions, lack of respect and dignity, grievances not dealt with, neglect of workers' health and safety, retrenchment, lack of opportunity to learn new skills. So, you know, as you know, that there are still many companies, so to speak, and that too in informal sector, informal sectors, where employees' interests are not protected. Their working condition is not good. They are working in a very unsafe conditions. Their health and well-being are not taken care by the employers, so to speak. So their trade union plays very, very important role by sort of, you know, working on behalf of the employees and engaging with the employer through collective bargaining approach. The union also enables the workers to evolve a positive work culture with due regard for the protection of rights of the employees as well as the interest of the consumers. Thus, trade union has become an indispensable part of industry. Trade unions are voluntary associations formed for the pursuit of protecting the common interest of its members and also to promote their welfare. They protect the economic, political, and social interest of their members. So, the two important takeaways from this slide: A, you know, the union's role is not just to sort of protect the interest of workers. They also create an environment where the interest of consumers are also protected. And the second point is that trade unions are voluntary association. So these are two very, very important things. A trade union can be seen as a group of employees in a particular sector whose aim is to negotiate with the employers over pay, job security, working hours, etc., using the collective power of its members. So collective power is the key phrase here, so to speak. Well, so what are the objectives of trade unions? Ensure security of workers, obtain better economic returns, secure power to influence management, and secure power to influence government. So that way, trade unions have played very, very crucial role in India, so to speak. The way the worker conditions or the working conditions have improved over years, you know, the credit goes to trade unions as well. The objectives of trade union are achieved by a pursuit of traditional method. What are these methods? These are the organization of a trade union on the basis of the craft or industry, collective bargaining, grievance processing and handling procedures, arbitration, political pressure exercised through legislators, mutual insurance through common contribution to meet the financial needs of workers when there are stoppage work. Functions of the trade unions. Well, so what are the functions? To secure fair wages of workers, we discussed. To safeguard security of tenure and improve condition of services. To enlarge the opportunities for promotion and training. To improve working and living conditions. To provide for educational, cultural and recreational facilities. Here it is important to note that trade unions function do not limit only to wage related negotiations and settlement. It goes much beyond. It goes up to the condition of workplace, the educational, cultural and recreational facilities of the workers. So in today's kind of context, trade unions actually work to upskill and reskill the workers so they can be future ready, to cooperate in and facilitate technological advance by broadening the understanding of workers on its underlying issues. So the way artificial intelligence and machine learning, they are replacing the day-to-day work, the trade union's role become very, very important, to broaden the understanding of workers and kind of make them future ready. They would put pressure on the management. They would convince management to help workers kind of, undergo upskilling, reskilling programs and make themselves ready with the newer and relevant skills. To promote identity of interest of workers with their industry. To offer responsive cooperation in improving levels of production and productivity, discipline and higher standards of quality. So the union, trade union leaders, they also kind of, their job is to sensitize the workers, regarding the kind of, level of production required or productivity required, the standard of quality to be maintained, so to speak. The changing, needs, expectation and preferences of customers and then the new sort of, new and context, so to speak. So trade union plays a very, very vital role in working as a conduit between the management and the workers that way. To promote individual and collective welfare. So these are some of the, I would say, very, very important functions of trade union. Well, what are the shortcomings of trade unions? I mean, of late, we have seen very, very unpleasant kind of things happening in some of the organizations, bigger organizations rather. And on the basis of that, and few others inherent sort of, shortcomings, we can say that the uneven growth, small size of, the trade unions, weak financial positions, their political leadership, their masters, multiplicity of unions, problem of recognition for, trade union work, absence of paid office bearers, apathy of members, opposition from employees, and inter-union rivalry. These are some of the, I would say, big shortcomings of trade union. I mean, we have seen, multiple cases where, the unions of two political parties, affiliated to two different political parties, because of their internal rivalry, worker interest actually suffered. Not only that, this rivalry took a very, very ugly, ugly face, so to speak. Okay, and because of the confidence in trade unions also got diminished. Well, we have also seen the cases where trade union leaders actually started behaving like mafia don, in fact, because of their, the number of people associated with them and their ability to sort of, getting connected with the their political masters, they started functioning like a mafia don, so to speak. So there are several such cases, and so these are some of the shortcomings, so to speak. Trade unions are formed on different criteria. They are on the basis of craft, industrial unions, general grouping based on the place, and federations. Trade union leadership in India consists of two main tiers, the outsiders and the insiders. However, most of the outsiders are no longer selfless social workers, and problem actually arise because of that. Conditions have to be created for building up of internal leadership. So, you know, external leadership, they have their own vested interest, and they do not necessarily work to protect the interest of the workers. They have their personal sort of, you know, agenda, so to speak, and they try to serve to their own personal agenda more through kind of, you know, their association with the internal trade union leadership, and then to sort of, you know, protecting the interest of the workers. So that is why it is important that there should be more and more development of internal leadership. But same time, you know, it should not be the situation where the company management, they should develop, you know, the their own sort of, you know, trade union leaders. The trade union leaders should not be their favorite ones, so to speak. Okay. So the development of political unionism has prevented the growth of sound worker-led trade unions and resulted in multiplicity of trade unions. There used to be various labor strikes in various places of India during the period of 60s to 80s, if you recall. Nowadays, they have reduced drastically. Well, so strikes used to take place primarily for disputes or disagreements on bonus amount, incentive schemes, suspensions, layoffs, and dismissal, and relocation of factories and or employees. The major causes, however, have seen related to monetary factors. And these causes many times created very, very unpleasant incident. So I am going to discuss here two cases. The first case is pertaining to the Steel Authority India Limited's plants, the sales voluntary retirement scheme. So after incurring a huge loss of rupees 15.74 billion in the financial year 98-99, the morale of sale was extremely low. In the financial year 1999-2000, the company incurred a net loss of rupees 17.2 billion. Hence, in February 2000, the sale management received a financial and business restructuring plan to be reorganized into two strategic business units. If you recall, in the early 90s, Indian economy opened up. Competition became very fierce, and no company was under the protected regime, so to speak. So that is what exactly happened with the sale factories as well. So as stated here, the two strategic business units, they were kind of asked to undergo the financial and business restructuring. The major worry for sales CEO was the company's 160,000 strong workforce. Manpower costs alone accounted for close to 17% of the company's gross sales. SAIL needed to cut the 160,000 strong labor force to 1 lakh by the end of 2003 through a voluntary retirement scheme. SAIL initiated a company-wide information dissemination program to educate the staff on restructuring. The trade unions were on a war path. The C2 put posters that the McKinsey report was meant not for the revival or survival of SAIL, but for its burial. At SSP, all the TUs had joined hands to form Save Salem Steel Committee and observed a day's token strike on June 24, 1999. The situation was quite grave. TU were worried that reduction of manpower would mean increasing the number of contractors and their workforce. So trade unions alleged that efforts were being made to weaken large public sector units, break them into pieces, and eventually privatize them. So they actually sense that the government is working against the interest of the workers, the permanent workers who are working with these factories. On February 17, 2000 workers at SSP went on a strike against the government's decision to restructure SAIL. The strike was called by 8 unions. Steel workers all over the country, irrespective of affiliations, have reacted sharply to the disastrous and deceptive decisions of the government on the so-called restructuring of this SAIL. So, as we observed in this case, that because trade union did not kind of find it in the interest of the workman, they thought that government has unilaterally decided to go for restructuring and reduction of manpower and mostly the workers. So that is why they were suspicious. They were not kind of in sync with the decision of the government, and they decided to go for strike and all kind of hampering the operations of the SAIL factories processes. Now let us discuss the second case study, that is Bata, the shoes company's case studies. As we know that Bata was India's largest manufacturer and marketer of footwear products. Bata India was headed by the 60-year-old managing director William Keith Weston. The company provided employment to over 15,000 people in its manufacturing and sales operations throughout India. The company incurred huge employee expense, that is 22% of the net sales in 1999. Competitors like Liberty Shoes were far more cost effective, with salaries of its 5,000 strong workforce comprising just 5% of its turnover. So 22% of Bata versus 5% of Liberty Shoes. Throughout its history, Bata was plagued by perennial labor problems with frequent strikes and lockouts at its manufacturing facilities. When the company was in the red in 1995, for the first time, BSO had restructured the entire board and sent a team headed by Weston. Soon after he stepped in, several changes were made in the management. Bata trade union criticized the move. Bata's equally large reputation for corruption within created the perception that Western would have a difficult time. When the new management team weeded out irregularities and turned the company around within a couple of years, tackling the politicized trade unions proved to be the hardest of all the tasks. On July 21, 1998, Western was severely assaulted by four workers at the company's factory at Patanagar while he was attending a business meet. Very unfortunate. The incident occurred after a member of BMU, Arup Datta, met Weston to discuss the issue of the suspended employees. Soon after the incident, the management dismissed the three employees who were involved in the violence. The employees involved accepted their dismissal letters but subsequently provoked other workers to go in for a strike to protest the management's move. So workers at Batanagar went on a strike for 2 days following the incident. The three men who were charge sheeted were member of the 41 member committee of BMU, which had strong political connections with the ruling Communist Party of India, that is Marxist. The trio, it was alleged, had in the past a good rapport with the senior managers who were no longer with the organization. These managers had reportedly farmed out a large chunk of the contract operation to this trio. In February 1999, unfortunately, lockout was declared in Bata's Faridabad unit. On March 8, 2000, a lockout was declared at Bata's Peenya factory in Bangalore, following a strike by its employee union. The new leadership of the union had refused to abide by the wage agreement, which was to expire in August 2001. Following the failure of its negotiation with the union, the management decided to go for a lockout. In July 2000, Bata lifted the lockout at the Peenya factory. However, some of the workers opposed the company's move to get an undertaking from the factory employees to resume work. In September 2000, Bata was again headed for a labor dispute when the BMU asked the West Bengal government to intervene in what it perceived to be a downsizing exercise being undertaken by the management. The union said that the Bata had started outsourcing the power range of fully manufactured shoes from China compared to the earlier outsourcing of only assembly and sewing line job. The company's production of Hawaii chappals at the Batanagar unit 2 had come down by 58% from the weekly capacity of 0.144 million pairs. These steps had resulted in lower income for the workers, forcing them to approach the government for saving their interest. So friends, what are the takeaways from these two cases? Clearly, when the company management does not take the workers and the trade unions in confidence, it kind of allows the mistrust to kind of grow among the workers' mind. And then there are some nefarious element in other side who, because of their vested interest, would provoke the workers, okay, and create a situation which will lead to strike, which will lead to violence and very, very unfortunate incidents. So it is very important for both the responsible management and the responsible trade unions to be cognizant of this fact that an amicable environment is in the interest of both the management as well as the workers. It is their pious responsibility, in fact, to take care of the issues simmering and not allowing those issues to become the violent matter, so to speak. So thank you. Thanks a lot.